Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good morning. Oh my goodness. It is such a Monday morning. I hope yours is going well. It's been filled with coffee and delight. Today, my delight will be to share with you Christina Trinidad, handmade embroidery at Handmade Stitch on all social media. So excited to always have her here once a month. Christina, welcome.
Thank you. How are you?
But just, you know, they always have this theme going and they have 5 points that they want to tell you how to like fix your life. And this is what we think. And, you know, go out there and be somebody. Like, we don't want to do that. You know, we're very good friends. The best of friends. We talk all the time. And we just wanted to include, you know, there's not a lot of people who have friendships like that. I certainly didn't before I met her. Mm-hmm. So we thought, wouldn't it be great to invite other people to have this friendship too? So we just have conversations literally about what's going on 10 minutes before we record. And it's sort of planned, but it's not scripted. So it really, the title really, really fits.
It's a wonderful way to connect, right. Especially through podcasts. Your hashtag is PNS podcast. If anybody wants to go out right. And find more, there's 5 of them so far, correct?
Yes. And we also have a Google Hangout where we did video, and that was because we couldn't record. Skype was having an issue.
We call that when it gets Skypey.
It was getting a little Skypey. All right. Skypey, and we couldn't do anything. So Tiffany suggested, why don't we do a Google Hangout? And I'm like, well, why don't I go upstairs and get dressed and put makeup on? So we've got 5 episodes and 1 video, and we've got 2 hashtags, actually. It's the PNS podcast, and the other one is the PNS book club, because we are doing a book club. We're at the second part right now, and it's The Summer Before the War by Helen Simonson. And Tiffany and I and a few other women who are doing it all virtually. So it's really fun.
Yes, Allison signed up to do it and has...
I was anything.
Totally, yeah, bagged. What's the book about?
It is about, it's very Downton Abbey-esque, and it takes place before some war. Okay, you're going to find out that Christina doesn't remember places or things or names. Like, I call this one woman, her name I think is Kitty. Not in my head. Her name is Olivia Tutu Puff. Like, that is her name. She's so got candy. But what I do is I highlight passages that I can then, you know, relate some kind of issue or thought that I had about it. And we discussed that. Like, there was a scene with marriage. Basically what it is there's this Latin teacher that comes to town, and she's obviously a woman, and they didn't expect her to be so young and pretty. And they want her to kind of know her place. So this is all, and as I say this, my husband is sitting across from me going, yeah, know your place, women. Like, he's just ridiculous to make me laugh. Well done, honey. So,
that's their job.
Right, I know. So it's all about this woman who comes to town, and I think it's before the First World War, and or it could be the second. I don't know. I'm not a history major, and I have read the book. So she's very scandalous in that she's forward thinking, and this town is just kind of dealing with the ripple effects of that as they install her as a Latin teacher in this school.
Ah, and it's a fiction book, right?
Historical fiction, yes.
Yeah, that's probably why I didn't join I had all good intentions. I don't know what it is about me with fiction. I'm not a fan.
You're not here's what somebody said to me, and I thought it was excellent. And Esther on Instagram, if you're listening, and I know you're not because I didn't tell you about it, but I'm just for you for when I send it to you. She said, this is how I read books. They're candies, and then there are vitamins. The vitamins are my spiritual books and like self-help and growth books, and the candies are my fiction books. Now, if those are balanced and you have enough candy and enough, you know, vitamins, then you're straight. But once you start leaning one against the other, you're missing out on, you know, literary fantasticness, which I just made up right now.
That's a great word. Sarah Reinhardt would completely agree with you that there is literary fantasticness when you balance fiction and nonfiction.
So I was reading at the time 4 nonfiction and 1 historical fiction, the 1 fiction book. Mm-hmm. And I was obviously very imbalanced, and I've remedied the situation since and have added a couple of more, fiction books. I'm reading Artemis Fowl with Alex, my son, and I'm reading Wool, which Esther suggested that I read because it was free on Kindle Unlimited, and I'm all about that.
I love free on Kindle. Yeah. That's one of my favorite things in the world. Yeah. I find that I'm in a kind of a spiritual reading kick right now. Like my morning reading, it's not a ton in each book, but there's 4 of them. I just got my copy of The Catholic Mom's Prayer Companion coming out the end of August.
Jealous.
So good. And I don't just say that because 4 of them are mine.
But I do a little bit.
I do a little bit. They're really good because the Holy Spirit writes them. Allison did not. Like rereading them, of course, they've been edited too. So rereading them, like, wow, that was brilliant. Wow.
I know. I've done that. Where I've written stuff and I submit it. And it gets edited lightly, and I'm like, wow, I'm a genius. And then like a few minutes later after I walk away, I'm like, wait, they edited that. I didn't write that. I'm not a genius.
See, I've gone back and be like, did I really write that? And sometimes I'm pleasantly surprised and went, oh, wow, the Holy Spirit really did say that through me. The other times I'm like, oh, yeah, I wasn't even close to that.
If it's too good, it's probably too good. So yeah. Not me.
They made me sound good. So the Catholic Mom's Prayer Companion is now actually available for pre-order. If you go to reconciledtoyou.com, it is under my blog. You can see it there. Or just send me a message anytime, Allison, at whereamibreadboxmedia.com, and I'll be happy to get you the link to that. So good. 365 over entries, over 80 authors. So really insightful. So that's become part of my morning reading. I'm doing the 33 Days to Morning Glory by Father Michael Gately, doing my reconsecration. Have you done that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every year with Tiffany, we do it for Our Lady of Lourdes in February. That's our feast day that we choose.
That's wonderful.
You can get in on that next year if you want.
Oh, absolutely. I would love that. I posted a picture of these 4 books that I've been reading every morning, and somebody, Pete Socks, the Catholic book blogger, actually noted how worn my 33 Days to Morning Glory was. And I thought, that's a really wonderful thing to notice, and that it is. It's like my fourth go around, I believe. I did the first one 2013, right before I left for World Youth Day. So that was
the first one we did was to Mount Carmel, and then the next 2 were to Our Lady of Lourdes leading up to that feast day, and we kind of like that one, so we're sticking with it for next year.
That's a beautiful one. I love that. Also in my list is prayers. It's a daily devotional one. Oh, I think I know the name by now, but it's by Susan Tassone, and it's for Holy Souls in Purgatory. And what I did,
you gotta send me that. I need that.
Oh, it's so incredible. So every day it's a prayer, a scripture verse. And I went on to social media, onto Facebook, and I asked for everybody to, if they wanted to send me a name of somebody they wanted me to pray for.
So I'll give you one right now. Genevieve Aguilar, my grandmother, I pray for every single day.
Oh, I will add her to the list. Yes. So each day there's a name. Now there'll be several names because as we go through this first year, so there's a name that I pray for on that day. Every day I end that prayer with eternal rest grant unto whoever the name is. Perpetual light shine upon them and may they rest in complete peace. And you know why I do this, Christina? It's really selfish of me. I read that when we pass away, if we've prayed for holy souls and our prayers have been beneficial to getting them into heaven, that they meet us with the Blessed Mother at the very end of our lives and help escort us into heaven. So here's my plan, Christina. I'm trying to get a wall of holy souls to like block the way, kind of make your argument for you. I figure if I have enough of them, I'm just going to slip around the back and no one's going to notice. Into heaven I will go.
No, not if I don't get there first. I've already decided to go through the back door. Okay. That's my little strategy. You can't take it.
I figured it was a really good plan. And in the meantime, I'm doing a spiritual work of mercy, praying for the dead. And it's a good thing. It's an all good thing.
I'm shaking my head at you.
Yeah.
I really am.
You should see priest responses to that. They're like, really, Allison? Is that truly how you think? I said, I am.
They're probably like, why hadn't I thought of that first?
I'm too honest. So, at least I share it, you know, I share this idea, and hopefully we have other people praying for those holy souls to get them quicker into heaven so they can help us when it's our turn to get into heaven.
I know it's going to be a long line for me. I think I'm going to be in the back. Can't see me coming. It's going to be tough.
I have always said I just wanted to get my toe into purgatory. And then St. Therese of Lisieux said, don't, because her cousin, I think Maria said that. Maria said that. And she said, don't say that. That grieves God. He wants you to shoot for heaven. I thought, okay, if I shoot for heaven, then maybe I'll land in purgatory.
Maybe just a toe in it.
Is there a safety net in purgatory? I may need it.
Somebody to start making one.
We're talking this morning with Christina Trinidad. We'll be right back. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I am joined this morning by Christina Trinidad. She blogs over at Handmade Embroidery. And I just realized it's not in my notes. That came from my memory, which is really good.
That's amazing.
But I should probably put it in my notes.
Or that.
So what? That's fine. I noticed that you taught yourself a new skill, girlfriend. That's awesome. So you're embroidering.
You know, I don't stop.
What is weaving? What is that?
Okay, so basically, you remember what it was like in the 70s with those kind of woven wall hangings.
You're trying to say that I'm old, Christina?
No.
Yeah, I remember the 70s really well. I was born in the 60s.
Right.
So
okay.
Go on.
60s, 70s, right? They had those wall hangings where they were like, they took fibers and yarn and they kind of wove it into this cool thing that you hung on your wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Those were fun.
I taught myself how to make those.
No way.
Yeah way. And I made my own because I didn't want to wait for a loom to come, you know, something that you actually weave on. Yeah. So I made my own. I went to Walmart and got a frame and I got nails and a ruler and all everything that I needed. So I bought it for like under $20.
Wow.
So and I clipped my nails because no one with nails can have a hammer. I'm sorry. It's just impossible. It's true. And they've not grown back since. I think they're very upset with me about that. So I actually made my own loom and I created one wall weaving myself, obviously. And then the second one I made sold.
No
I was shocked
way.
At that.
Oh, I'm not surprised at that. You make beautiful stuff. You have an Etsy
shocked.
Shop, right? Are you?
Yes, I do. It's on vacation now, but it's Handmade Embroidery. Yes.
Okay.
And that's MAID for Handmade of the Lord, in case you didn't know. Yeah.
Love
so
it.
I also have weavings that I'll be adding to the shop come the fall and, you know, hand stitch necklaces that I make. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I have a lot of plans for stuff. I'm going to a weaving workshop at the end of the month with someone from all the way from Australia. I'll be going there it's in New Jersey, the workshop at the next weekend, actually. So I'm hustling, doing my thing.
I guess you are. That's really cool.
Yeah, thank
Very
you.
Very impressed. You always have something really fun happening. Are you still embroidering?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I just closed the shop for the summer so that I can stock up on fall stuff.
Oh.
So that come the fall with the kids in school and I'm not going crazy doing all these, you know, necklaces and hoops and all this stuff. I can actually be a mom during the busiest time of the mom's year.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Really cool. Yes, I do.
Oh, that was my husband's idea. I can't take any credit for that.
See, it's not easy when he's home listening in, is it?
Oh, hi.
He's on top of all of it.
Right. No, it's true. It's true. He said, you know, why don't you shut down for the summer, go to the pool, get re-inspired, restock, and then come back in the fall, guns blazing. And then once you sell out, and then you start working on stuff for the spring and summer. I'm like, you start working on stuff for the spring and summer in January, February, March, and then you shut down again for the summer. I was like, this is a fabulous idea.
It really
is. So I'm going to try it.
I actually took the weekend off. I never take a weekend off.
This weekend,
I felt like it was time for family time. And I think that's a really important point for working moms, working wives, working women, is that we don't have to work 24/7. Like, the Lord gave us a day of rest. And if you want to take two, I don't think that's a problem. I have a really hard time taking time off. I'm such a workaholic, especially because I love what I do so much that it's hard for me. Yeah. It's really hard for me to walk away from it sometimes.
How do you feel today after the 2 days off?
I feel fantabulous. I feel a little behind, not going to lie.
You'll catch up. You'll get into the groove. It's fine. It's just new. You'll get there. You'll be fine.
And you know what? I love what you said about getting re-inspired. And I think that's huge.
You get depleted with just the constant going, the constant work. And you're so close to your work, whether that's something that you're making, something that you're creating, something that you're talking about with the radio show, or, you know, even speaking to people, because I know you're a speaker.
Mm-hmm.
You're so close to something that it's difficult to take a step back, see the whole picture, see what's changed and how you can reinfuse life into that, you know, I guess, vocation that you're in. So it's really important to take a step back every once in a while.
I agree. And, you know, and I think about, and I talk often about taking a step back to reconnect with God, but, and that's important. Absolutely. You need to do that every single day. You can't have a day without God, because that's like a day without breathing. But the Lord's also put in your life these special people.
He scheduled it for you the day, by the way.
Yeah.
He put it in your planner. Every Sunday.
Exactly.
Go to sleep.
Rest. Enjoy it, right? But he also is giving you this gift of these people in your life. And to enjoy them is also not to enjoy the gifts that he gives us. Like, we don't want to begrudge the gift giver. That's not the right, that's the right word, right?
What do they begrudge. Say? You don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth, which I have no idea to this day. Is it that you get the gift of a horse and you're checking inside its mouth to see if it has cavities and that's rude? Because I just came up with that the other night. Like, is that what that means? Because that's all I can take from that. Otherwise, clueless as to what that means.
Oh my gosh. I just wrote it down. I totally have to Google it and I'll put it in the show notes, because that's hysterical.
And I refuse, but I like my interpretation better. Like, I want to
like,
this horse has cavities, spots on its tongue. Like, don't do that, because I just gave you the gift of the horse. Don't check for cavities. It's rude. I agree.
I like that. That's a very good that's a good way of looking at
that.
I'm totally going. Yeah, that's beautiful. Okay. That's too funny. You crack me up. So let's see. So you got planned, not scripted going on. So how often does that podcast land?
It's once a month. And now, because the people have spoken and they like video, it'll probably be... we'll probably convert to video. Maybe, I don't know. I'm speaking at a turn, because Tiffany is my tech girl with all of this, which is shocking, because she's not a tech person at all. So I don't know if we're going to split it up, or we'll have half audio at the beginning of the month and half video at the end of the month, or just video. But we're very good about letting people know. If you subscribe to the email list, we're also doing a Secret Santa prayer group, which is really cool.
What's that?
She came up with the idea where you sign up. It's completely anonymous and it's for Secret Santa groups. So you put in your name, and then in your gift wish list, you write down the intentions you want prayed for. And then this website mixes everything up and sends you somebody's name with their intention. And you pray for them. It could be initials. Like I said, if Jesus Christ wanted us to pray for him, he could put in his initials JC. It would be cool. Nobody would know who it was, but you could put in your initials or your full name. And we're doing it with anybody who signs up to the email list, so that we can all keep praying for one another, because, you know, I think it's good medicine to pray for other people, because you're not so focused on yourself and what's going on with you, and you're kind of downtrodden and, oh, my life is horrible and this happened to me today. You're worrying about the things and doing works of mercy for others. And I think Mother Teresa was big on that.
Absolutely.
Was she?
Yes. And my guest last week was Gary Zimak, and Gary's book, it was Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps. And one of the steps was to pray for others. And he said to pray for them first in your list in the morning, because then you've taken care of that. You're not focused on yourself. So if you're somebody who can get really overly scrupulous or get really wrapped up in your own thoughts, in your own head. I thought that was great advice, because I love to pray for other people, but I got to be honest, because it's all about me. I usually pray about me first.
But see, the thing is, here's the thing with this kind of secret Santa that Tiffany is using with us for whoever signs up. We decide on a novena, and you pray that novena just for that person.
Oh, I love
that. So you kind of carry them throughout your day, and you realize that, you know, you've gone a whole day and you're thinking about them and worried about them. You're not worried about yourself. Exactly. So hello, anxiety goes out the window. I don't know about you. Anxiety. I'm not worried about myself.
Anxiety out the window is a good thing. I like that.
It's great. It's really, really. And I thought it was an excellent idea that she had. We did it with just, Allison Kenyon and Samantha Campbell and Tiffany and myself. And then as we were doing the podcast, I said, why don't we open it up to everybody? So hopefully people will sign up so that, you know, we can have a good, so that I really, the reason why I did it was because I've kind of like conspiracy theoried the entire thing, and I can guess who my person is by just asking questions, because I want to know who's praying for me so that I can keep them other intentions. You know, I'm selfish too.
Funny. That's so funny. So where can they go to sign up for this?
AndNotScripted.com. That's where you go. We've got a few places for you to sign up, and the last post of the blog is there right up at the top. You can click on that and go there. There's a link in the sidebar. There's a link at the top. Like, you can, we want to pray for people. So get on it.
So plannednotscripted.com. Another way that I pray for others as my priest, I really want to keep my priest in prayer. So when I feel like I'm in my car all the time. So he has a very distinctive car, and there's lots of them on the road. So that makes it easy. So every time I see the car that's the same as he drives, I pray for him to say a quick Hail Mary for him every time. So perhaps in this little Secret Santa thing, we can pick a car or pick a color, and every time we see that, we can pray.
Yeah, I mean, whatever works for you, whatever memory you need, memory kind of trick that you need to get it. But the novena prayers are good, and Tiffany always tweets them out the day of, like, novena number, you know, day 3. So I just open it up immediately, do the novena prayer, and keep moving.
One of my favorite websites is praymorenovenas.com.
That's what we use, yeah.
Because I love praying them. It's a novena, by the way, is 9 days of prayer in a row. This is new to you. This idea is new to you. And I put them on my calendar, but I still always forget it.
Forget.
But that email is beautiful. We just finished St. Anne today.
I don't even read the email. It's because I would lose that. It's when Tiffany tweets, I always get notifications. So as soon as she tweets, I'm like, oh, homegirl's praying the novena. I'm doing it. She can't one-up me today. She can't, you know, we also track each other's steps because we have the Fitbit. Like, she can't beat me in steps. She can't beat me in novenas.
Funny. That's wonderful. Well, today we just finished up St. Anne, one of my favorite novenas. We're talking this morning with Christina Trinidad of Handmade Embroidery. And you're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned. We're going to talk about tattoos when we get back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm joined this morning by Christina Trinidad of Handmade, M-A-I-D, like Handmade of the Lord, Embroidery. You can also find her at Handmade Stitch on social media. That's your Twitter handle. Before I go back into our conversation, we're going to talk about tattoos and church. We're going to just get a couple of really quick announcements. First, this week on Women in the New Evangelization, WINE, they're doing a summer book club with our friend Melanie Rigney's Blessed Are Is She right? Blessed is she. Sorry, I should know that. But I am the reflection this week is on from me. It's on mercy. I'll give you a link for that. Love to have you go over there. I share a very personal story of how sometimes giving your heart to the works of mercy is easy, and sometimes it's really hard. And I share where the Lord called me in a really deeper way to be his hands and feet in the world. And the other thing is a giant announcement. I'll be giving more details on tomorrow's show, but I'm going to Poland, and I want you to come with me October 9th through the 17th, 2017. There'll be much more information to come, but mark your calendars. We're going to Poland, peeps. The Hope, Faith, and Love Tour of Poland. So back to Christina. Christina,
that's Trinity. A big announcement drop, Poland. My husband was in Poland.
Really? I love Poland. I'm excited. I've never been.
He was there for work, and that's like his conversion story, actually. He told me the night before he left to Poland that he wanted to join the Catholic faith with me and the boys. Oh. And when he left, he was literally less than a block away from St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross's church in Wroclaw.
We're going Poland. There.
He went to Cathedral Island, and it was for work, but it was his own personal pilgrimage in Poland. And he said, you know, be warned, the Pope is like the Pope John Paul II, St. Pope John Paul II is like the Coca-Cola of Poland. Like he's
I love it.
It's great. Yeah. He was like, it was great. I went to mass there all the time. He sent me video of all the churches, and he was, the name of the church that he went to is St. Mary Magdalene Church, which is the name that I took when I joined the Lay Dominicans.
That's amazing.
So it's all very connected and beautiful. So you're going to have a great time.
I love when that happens. Like when, like just those little God sentences and God just weaves us. Speaking of weaving, God's an awesome weaver. He weaves us all together. You know, my pastor is just fanatical over Pope St. John Paul II. And I really wanted to do something special for him and for my parish. But anyone and everyone is invited to come with us. I'm going with a Catholic Faith Journey. It's an incredible, incredible organization. Just so excited to offer this. We're going to have a blast. It's a year away. So hopefully it's plenty of time for all of us to put in our calendars, start saving our pennies, and be together over there with looking at St. Maximilian Kolbe and Pope St. John Paul II. And of course, my homegirl, my fangirl, is St. Faustina. She's it. She's my everything. So I'm very excited to be there for
that. It's going to be a great trip.
It is. So Christina, you had some really interesting posts last week that I wanted to talk to you about. What's going on, girlfriend with the tattoos?
I don't usually post anything that's controversial on social media because I don't feel that's the forum. But here of late, I've been kind of like thrust in the middle, and I don't know why this happens, but I'm kind of thrust in the middle of these controversial situations. And there are some that I do share on social media, and there are some that I don't that are actually worse than what I posted last week. So, I went to, mass with my children on Friday. For St. Mary Magdalene's feast day. You know, she's been re-promoted or re-upgraded to feast status.
I know, so I wanted to celebrate. Exciting was that?
Love her. She's like my BFF. So obviously I took her name. So I wanted to take my kids to mass. And if you know what that's like to get kids up at 7 a.m. in the summertime on a non-school day and make them go to confession first and then mass, girl, that's a feat. Don't mess with me that morning. Like I can't like sleep. Like, okay, they're happy. They're sitting.
Oh, that's funny.
Their hands are clasped. They might be asleep. We don't know. But just don't mess with me, right? So, I'm leaving mass with the kids. We were all clean and scrubbed and beautiful and happy. we were all like just glowing. We really were. It was a beautiful mass, and we were like skipping to Mary's Grotto to spend time with Mary. We always do that after mass. And Gabriel's a stickler about only one person on the bench at a time. So you'll have to wait your turn to pray with Mary. He's like, she can only handle one person at a time. Don't overcrowd her. I'm like, jeez. Okay. Very protective of Mary. So as my children prayed first, and then I went to pray, you know, at the grotto, and a woman came up to us and is chatting with my kids loud. As I'm praying, and I'm thinking to myself, I have to focus on my prayer, focus on my prayer, focus on my prayer. And she's asking them questions, and they're being very polite and answering them. And she's not doing anything untoward or anything, you know, dramatic. So she then turned to me and said, do your children go to school here? And I said, yes, they do go to school here. And she started, I don't know how she got on the conversation of asking me about my medals, because I wear quite a few. Mm-hmm. I have a St. Kateri medal, Immaculate Heart medal. And then I have, or no, Immaculate Mary, I think it is, Miraculous medal. That's what it is. And then a St. Dominic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then a St. Dominic medal. When I became a lay Dominican, I got that from my chapter. Mm-hmm. So I have that plus a diamond, you know, pendant that my husband got me. So I'm like, my husband calls it the Mr. T of like the Mr. T look of the Catholic faith. Cause I've got like all my pieces with me. Right. So if that gives you a good visual. So, she started talking to me about my medals and asked me about which ones I had on there. And when I mentioned St. Dominic, she said, oh, how did you get that? And I explained to her about the chapter and all of that. And then, she says, you know, I've never seen you here before. Do you come here often? And I said, actually, I cantor at this church every other week. So my kids go to school here. We're in it. We're in the church. And she says, even with those tattoos? And I said, why, yes, with those tattoos. And she said, oh, what do you have? And I said, I have Our Lady of Guadalupe on this arm, and I have a geisha on the other arm. And I'm always reluctant to show the geisha girl because people, hold your hair, she's naked. Okay?
Oh.
And she's naked. So, and it's got little flowers of my kids. Well, she's not naked. She's half naked. But she's got there's little flowers of my kids, like Cabbage Patch Kids, you know, in there. Oh. So, yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful art piece. Gorgeous art
piece. I was gonna say, I'm sure it's very tasteful. You're not exactly.
Right. Exactly. And I said, what do you mean he allows that to happen? He doesn't ask you to cover that up? And I said, no, he doesn't ask me to cover that up. And she goes, you're a racy chick, huh? Now, first of all, let's cut the scene. Let's break the scene down. You don't talk like that to me in front of my children. That's number one, because they already recognize and know that tattoos are a hot button topic, and they're looking to protect me at all costs. They're like my little wolves in a den, you know, like they're ready to pounce. Just like Gabriel's very protective of Mary, he's protective of his mom. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, for you to suggest that anybody can tell me what to do.
Yeah.
That's pretty. A word that starts with a B that I'm not going to say. That's number two. Okay. Number three, you just met me. We just got out of mass. We were just, you know, in the body of Christ, sharing the body and the blood. Like we were in it. How could you, what are you doing?
I know. Right. Right.
And then why is it that people with tattoos are racy? You don't know that I'm completely conservative, probably more than you.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I have tattoos, doesn't make me racy.
That's an interesting word of choice of words.
She would, because I kept walking, right? Because I knew that it was about to go down. Like if I stayed any longer, Christina from Brooklyn was coming out. Like I had to just, I was like, Christina, start walking. So that's what I do. I kind of like start making my way, and she's walking next to me. She's like, you're really racy. And I'm like, I am about to snap on somebody right quick if she doesn't get away. And the boys hold my hands and they're walking me towards the car because they sense like the steam coming from my head. And, you know, but this isn't the first time something like this has happened. At the sign of peace at mass, my husband has tattoos too. And his are just, you know, a dragon and, you know, the astrological signs of the kids with their, you know, earthly elements, which is like water and bar clouds. And it's very beautiful, beautiful mm-hmm. pieces of Japanese art. Mm-hmm. And at the sign of peace, people behind us turn their heads and look away until we are just tired of waiting for them to give us a handshake. They won't shake our hands.
That's so bizarre.
And it's everybody, but it's for the most part, we deal with it every weekend.
Hmm.
But the clergy, the priests, they love us. I know a priest who has a tattoo. So when I told him, I said, I'm sorry, it's the first time you're seeing it. He lifted up a cassock? He lifted it up and said, Christina, please, I've got a Celtic cross on my leg. You're fine.
Yes. Yeah, my pastor is very conservative. And even he was given a talk to the confirmation kids one day. And he's like, you're going to make good choices about what you put on your body, but the tattoo in itself isn't an objection. And I think that the world is, you know, tattoos are changing. They are art. They are an expression.
It's an expression of motherhood. And for me, with the one with the geisha girl, and for me, I personally am drawn to the juxtaposition of the sacred and the profane. And that's what I was getting at with my art, with my Our Lady of Guadalupe on one arm and a naked geisha girl on another with my children. You know, that's the earthly life. The saintly life, the one in heaven, is Our Lady of Guadalupe. This is where, and I'm in the middle of that.
Wow. I love the
that's
thought
my
behind
point.
That.
And
beautiful.
Had you asked me about it, instead of being judgmental about it, that's what you would have gotten from me.
We come back with Christina Trinidad. We're going to pick up with this conversation. You are listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're joined today by Christina Trinidad of Handmade Embroidery. You can find her on Twitter at Handmade Stitch. And we are talking tattoos. And we're also talking about, and I think this is the bigger picture, is how we relate to families and to visitors or even our day-to-day parishioners in our parish. Like, we
or somebody that's different, somebody that's different than what you are used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you come to Mass, unfortunately, it's not about you anymore.
Not at all.
It's about the body of Christ. It's about Jesus. It's about, you know, praising him in that moment. It's not about you and your prejudices and what you like or what you don't like or what you prefer or what you don't prefer. That's not what it's about. Not before, not during, not after. You have nothing nice to say, keep it to yourself.
And I have to think, like, you know, we're supposed to, what would Jesus do? You know, that whole, what would Jesus do?
I know, that's what shocks
Jesus would
me.
Be so thrilled that that person is in the Mass, is in there receiving his body, blood, soul, and divinity, is worshiping him. He wouldn't care how you came.
Made the time.
Yeah.
Made the time.
And I don't know why we get like that at all. You know, for me, I remember having small children, and I wanted to nurse my child in Mass. And I was like just ostracized. People were so, I brought a blanket,
yeah,
kid was suffocating. Nobody was seeing anything.
You didn't have boobs out. You weren't like nipples everywhere. You were trying to feed your kid. That's the point.
There was no wardrobe malfunctions.
But the thing is that, you know, even with, and I never went to Mass with small children. My children were older at the time. So I can't say from firsthand experience that I had any kind of, you know, issue or people looking at me or anything like that. But I decided a long time ago when I joined the Catholic Church that if I saw a mother and a child and they were struggling or she was having a hard time or the baby was crying, I would offer an encouraging smile to her or to the baby, or, you know, tell her after Mass, you know, your child is beautiful. Your children are beautiful. You're doing such a wonderful job because, you know, it's difficult to get your kids out the door. It's difficult to get up in the morning when you've been up all night, tired, nursing, sick baby, whatever. And you make it a point to get to Mass. You make it a priority, you know, encourage your fellow parishioner, encourage your fellow sister and brother in Christ to come back.
And introduce yourself and talk about the children. Don't even bring up the elephant in the room. They know when their child has been, you know, been difficult during Mass or they've struggled. Just say hi, like how old they are. They're so cute. Tell me, like, make a friendship, not
make them feel.
Yeah.
It's not hard. And even my boys know that if they see a baby, they smile at the baby, they coo at the baby just to give the mom a break.
Yep.
Because if they're focused on the boys, you know, they're not, you know, and my kids, they got a thing with babies. They love them. So I just think it's so hard, especially when you get to Mass, because you think I'm here, I'm with my people, you know, surely they're not going to judge me. And when they do, and it's my fault, and I struggle with this all the time, you know, I put my Catholic brothers and sisters or even my Christian brothers and sisters at a certain level. Like they know better. They shouldn't do that. But at the end of the day, they're not perfect too. They're just as broken as I am. And I have to give them the grace and the forgiveness that God gives me, just like in our Father.
Absolutely. So when we first got Faithy home, you know, to look at my daughter, you would have no idea that she has any kind of disability. You'd never know she was deaf because she doesn't wear hearing aids. There's nothing about her that would say, oh, and you would never know she was adopted. And well, you might know that because I'm Portuguese and she's not, but you don't, if you're not with my husband, you would never know.
Right.
When she looks enough like me that most people kind of question anyway, but you still wouldn't know all the details. You don't know what's happening. And she, when we first got her home, was very difficult in mass. Even though she's deaf, she knew that she makes noises, and she knew that somehow those stressed mommy out. So she would be loud. She would be, it was really difficult. So we'd remove her. And people would look at me and then they'd make comments to me afterwards. And I was like, really? I'm trying so hard. And I don't even want you to come up and tell me I've done a good job. I want you just to talk to me and say, oh, you know, like, who is this child? And tell me about your family or, you know, make a friendship.
I've not seen her before. Tell me, how did this happen? I'm so excited for you. How can I pray for you? Anything.
Exactly.
But like even this weekend, I covered for somebody. I canter at mass. And I know you know this. I'm a classically trained opera singer. So
voice
you wouldn't
from
expect,
heaven, girlfriend.
Oh, you, thank you. But you wouldn't expect that to come out of my mouth. Okay. So you wouldn't. You just wouldn't. Nobody does. And I don't talk about it very often. So I don't usually sing at this mass. And it's a huge mass. It's one where it's very well attended. So I was very, very nervous. And I'm not going to wear a sweater with long sleeves to make other people comfortable in 97 degree heat. I just, no. I'm not going to do that. Right. So I'm wearing a short sleeve shirt, but I'm wearing a long skirt and pretty sandals. Like I'm appropriately dressed for mass. I had to go to the bathroom before mass. So I'm and you have the bathrooms all the way across on the other side. So as I'm walking, the heat from everyone's eyes, like, oh my gosh, is she really cantering? Is that really the canter? Oh my goodness. But then afterwards, when I was done, they all came to me and you're so amazing and your voice is so beautiful. And they didn't even see the tattoos anymore.
Oh, that's awesome. That's how
it kind of bothers me. But that kind of bothers me. Like I have to perform for you to see that I'm more than just
good
some tattoos
point.
On my arm.
Yeah.
Like that stinks. That stinks. And it's just, it's unfortunate that even after receiving the grace of the Eucharist and spending time in his presence, like just split seconds later, we're still judgmental. It's a long road of I guess forgiveness that we have to give ourselves and to give others and grace.
That's very true. You know, it's so funny as you're saying that, I was thinking when I finally got to the part in my own sign language development after World Youth Day, when I went traveling with the Deaf Apostolate to Rio in 2013, I felt more confident to stand in front of the church.
Right.
I put my daughter over to the side in the front pew and I stood there and then I signed to her. It was then that people were like, oh, we get it. And then, like you're saying, you had to perform. And you could, I hate that feeling of the eyes on you. Oh,
yeah. Oh, like, it's horrible. And I had to walk there to talk to the Monsignor. And, you know, you got to find out if there's anything different going on so that, you know, if you're not singing I can't remember the name of it, but there's a part that you don't have to sing if the deacon speaks it. So I wanted to find out what the deal was. And the deacon was the only one there. And he said, I'm not sure. I said, that's fine. We'll wing it. So I had to walk there once, come back, then go to the bathroom, then come back. So it was, and it didn't help that they got new mics in and they're so high that I couldn't even reach them. And the deacon had to push a bench for me to stand on as I'm singing the psalm during the psalm.
I want video of that.
I was like, awesome. And then I'm afraid I'm going to fall back. So I stand on my tippy toes to make sure. It was a hot mess, but I got through it.
That's too funny. I think the bottom line of this conversation and why I was so excited to have it with you this morning. Again, we're talking with Christina Trinidad, Handmade Embroidery.
Yeah.
You can find her at Handmade Stitch on Twitter. Is that it's just that welcoming. I've just been really thinking so much about our churches and our masses and how, you know, we may only get one chance to welcome somebody in. And one of the things I think our Protestant brothers and sisters are just so awesome at is that when you go to one of their services, they will in droves welcome you. I know it's different
for their new BFF.
Exactly. I know it's different. Yeah. Like my church has four masses. I don't know if that person is there just because they usually go at 4 o'clock, but now they're at 10:30. But you know what? It shouldn't matter.
Matter, right.
It should be, hey, I've never seen you here before. You know, right. Is this your church or, you know, what brings you here? Like there should be a hello, like get out of our comfort zone.
No, and that's too hard, Allison.
Come on. I mean, and I have an anxiety disorder. So if I'm willing to say hi. So if exactly. If I'm
sweating right now on this podcast, like right now, like don't talk anxiety. We talked it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I understand.
But we share. Obviously, we share a desire to know Christ,
and that should be enough.
And that should be enough. And that's exactly what we should be coming at. You know, like we share something. They're in that building. It's not like they're out. Like for instance, my son is obsessed with Pokemon Go, and our church is one of the Pokestops or whatever it's called.
Yes, it is.
And I am like, I really want to sit. We have a big stone wall, and I'm going to sit on that stone wall some afternoon and just engage in conversation, because they're not here seeking Jesus. But I want to see, like, I want to talk to these young people or young adults or even older people. But when they're inside those walls, we know they're there for the same reason we are.
Right. And what's funny is that even when I posted that on Facebook, when that was said on Facebook, somebody commented and said, well, do you think maybe it's time to look for another parish? And you know what? My answer is no, because it's my parish too.
Yep.
And just because you're uncomfortable doesn't mean that I have to leave or that I have to put on a woolly sweater. That's not what it means, you know? And even when I got married in the Catholic Church, I wore a halter gown and you could see my back piece. I have my entire back is covered. And the priest was there and he said, you know, if it's tasteful, it's fine. And it's tasteful and it was fine.
It's a beautiful story. I love your tattoos. I love that you shared them today with us. Christine, I'm so glad you were able to come back this month. I have missed you.
I
look forward to talking with you again next month.
Great.
We've been talking today with Christina Trinidad. You can find her at Handmade Embroidery or on PlannedNotScripted.com, her wonderful podcast with our friend Tiffany Walsh, Life of a Catholic Librarian. Tomorrow, I'll be here live. I'll be picking up with a new book out from Susan Bailey. I look forward to sharing that with you. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.